Endeavor's launch is off until at least Sunday. The FAA announces more management changes. And the U.S. airlines call for a national airline policy. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, May 2, 2011. NASA managers will meet early this week to set a new date for the launch of the shuttle Endeavour on its last mission, STS-134. It was originally scheduled for 3:37 p.m. Friday, but an electrical problem with the world's most complicated machine forced a scrub. Specifically, there was a failure in one of the heating circuits, which prevents freezing of hydrazine fuel in one of the APUs in the extreme cold of orbit. NASA launch commit criteria and flight rules require that all three APUs and heater circuits be operational for liftoff. The soonest the launch could be attempted again now is this Sunday. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt has announced additional management changes and other actions as part of the FAA's comprehensive review of the air traffic control system. Three veteran FAA managers will be repositioned to assume oversight of critical air traffic roles. Walt Cochran will oversee terminal operations, where he'll be responsible for all the agency's airport towers and TRACONs. Chris Metz will oversee all the agency's en route and oceanic operations. And Glenn Martin will become the air traffic manager at the Cleveland Air Route Traffic Control Center. He's currently deputy air traffic manager at Chicago Center. The FAA says it's also assessing key mid-level management positions to ensure that technical and leadership expectations are being met. Teams of FAA experts are also examining complex facilities, including Cleveland and New York centers, to confirm that operational policies and professional standards are being upheld. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano toured Lambert St. Louis International Airport Thursday, following the devastating tornado that hit the airport April 22nd. Her visit coincided with the first on-site survey of damage from federal and state emergency management teams. Concourse C, which served four airlines, remains closed. The tornado blew out a majority of windows and caused extensive roof damage on that concourse and damaged airline gate areas, stores, restaurants, and operational areas. Terminal 1 also suffered extensive damage after windows were blown out of the three-story high domes that frame the ticketing level. Lambert is also working with its insurance teams to determine the next steps to reopen Concourse C. Airlines with gates there have been moved to other concourses to get them back in operation. The damage review process could take a week or more. The Air Transport Association of America is calling on the U.S. Department of Transportation, Congress, and the industry to turn nearly 20 years of discussion into action and quickly enact a U.S. national airline policy to boost competitiveness and drive economic growth. ATA President Nicholas Calio notes there have been at least four separate federal commissions since 1993, and all have come up with similar recommendations, but they haven't been implemented. Quote, "We now need a focused and coordinated commitment from everyone involved to turn multiple commission recommendations into real policy with a measurable timeline of accomplishments. ATA is committed to help lead the development of this timeline," unquote. Calio made his comments in a speech to the National Chamber Foundation Annual Aviation Summit at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. Conclusions reached by all the commissions and supported by ATA members include addressing the rising tax burden, reducing the industry's regulatory burden, expediting implementation of a satellite-based air traffic management system, expanding access to global markets, and enabling the U.S. airline industry to attract investment. The FAA has released the EAA AirVenture Oshkosh 2011 NOTAM, highlighting arrival and departure procedures for the more than 10,000 aircraft expected at the Experimental Aircraft Association's 59th Annual Fly-In Convention, which opens July 31st at Whitman Regional Airport in Oshkosh. The NOTAM will be in effect July 22nd through August 1st and outlines procedures for Oshkosh and other nearby airports. There are a number of changes this year. Pilots are expected to have a copy of the NOTAM available for in-flight reference. The free copy of the NOTAM is available to order or download or by calling EAA. Still ahead, a union election is coming at United Continental. Right-to-work states caution the NLRB to let up on Boeing. And at age 87, Helene Dax still has the aviation bug. You're listening to Arrow News.
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back to wrap up your Aero briefing for Monday, May 2nd. I'm Paul Plack. The NMB, the U.S. National Mediation Board, has issued a decision finding that United and Continental Airlines are now a single carrier for the purpose of labor relations. For the Continental Fleet Service, cargo, and operations workers, and the United and Continental Micronesia ramp cargo and operations workers, this will trigger a union representation election. The Teamsters currently represents about 7,300 fleet service workers at Continental and 400 workers at Continental Micronesia, while the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers represents about 6,500 ramp workers at United. Both unions are expressing optimism they'll be able to win exclusive bargaining rights for the new, larger combined group. The attorneys general of 9 states have written a letter to the acting general counsel of the National Labor Relations Board, calling on the board to drop its complaint against Boeing. The NLRB recently charged the plane maker was violating labor regulations by opening up a non-union assembly facility for the 787 Dreamliner in South Carolina, which is a right-to-work state. The move by the NLRB has been widely criticized as an overtly political one, intended to strengthen the Obama administration's support among the labor unions, which comprised a major source of campaign funding in 2008, and a chance for the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers to take a shot not only at Boeing, but also at the jobs of South Carolina Boeing workers who voted by a wide margin to end IAM representation in 2009. South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson wrote on behalf of the group, quote, "The right to work uninhibited by compulsory unionism is a precious right and is constitutionally enforceable through our state's right to work laws. This tenuous complaint will reverberate throughout union and non-union states alike, as international companies will question the wisdom of locating in a country where the federal government interferes in industry without cause or justification," unquote. Regarding the idea that Boeing's public statements about the effect of pro-union state policies on the economic competitiveness of the Puget Sound region represent illegal coercion, quote, "The Supreme Court long ago made it clear that the National Labor Relations Act does not limit, and the First Amendment protects, the employer's right to express views on labor policies or problems," unquote. The letter was signed by Wilson and the Attorneys General of Virginia, Nebraska, Texas, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Arizona, all of which are right-to-work states. After more than 7 years as president of the International Space University, Dr. Michael Simpson will leave his post on September 1st to join the staff of the Secure World Foundation of Superior, Colorado. His term at ISU has been characterized by enrollment growth, new program development, increased international presence, enhanced research facilities, and improved financial health. Simpson's presidency is the longest since the school was founded on the MIT campus 24 years ago. Asked why he would choose to leave now, Simpson commented, quote, "There's enough of the sailor in me to know that it's generally better to change command when seas are relatively calm. As for the timing, after spending 12 of the last 14 years living far from most of my family, I now have an opportunity to do work I love close to more of the people I love. That's a pretty powerful draw," unquote. The school has graduated over 3,100 students from its professional and master's degree programs. More than 1,000 others have benefited from shorter professional development programs. True to the school's international commitment, ISU's students have come from over 100 countries. And finally today, aviation has always been in Helene Dax's blood. Starting as a teenager as an air traffic controller, she worked in Chicago during World War II, guiding planes to and from the airport. She earned her pilot's license at age 26, and over the years, she and her husband owned several small planes and flew all over the U.S. Now 87 years old, Helene turned to Brookdale Senior Living Center and Jeremy Bloom's wish of a lifetime to help fulfill her wish to get back in the air and fly a plane one more time. Helene and her dear friend Emily Warner, the first female pilot at Frontier Airlines, will take to the skies on Tuesday, May 10th at 10 a.m. Mountain Time at McCare Aviation at Rocky Mountain Metropolitan Airport in Broomfield, Colorado. To request her wish, Dax filled out a survey explaining an experience she would like to have fulfilled and how it would relate to one or more dimensions of Brookdale Senior Living's optimum life concept. You might imagine that entering what is essentially an essay contest at age 87 would demonstrate fearlessness. But Helene does recall the only part of flying she found scary, hand-propping the airplane. See Helene's cute promotional photo, taken with Emily, in the text version of this story, dated April 29th, at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller wonders why, when we all know that airplanes don't stall themselves, we keep having about one stall spin accident a week in the U.S. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.